It's Tuesday, February 27th. I'm Chris.
I'm Alyssa, and this is the Utah Politicast,
where we talk about politics in Utah. This week, Mitt Romney surprises nobody by announcing his candidacy for the Senate.
We'll look at the whole bushel of bills that got passed in the Utah Senate.
A bushel?
Maybe more like a peck?
Yeah. And we iron out our Utah Asshole of the Week from Iron County this week. So let's get right into it with headlines.
All right, so the big story in Utah this week is that Mitt Romney has finally, officially announced his bid for the Senate.
Hooray.
Right. And this is the Utah Senate seat that will be opened up because Orrin Hatch is not running, is keeping his commitment to not run for another term. So that's exciting.
I guess.
It's not.
No, I mean, it's just like... What generic-looking person in a suit can we put in place of Orrin Hatch? Mittens? Oh, hello, Mittens. You know, it's just, I'm not excited about this at all.
You can say what you like about Mitt Romney, but call generic. Him generic-looking? No, he is handsome.
He looks like every just generic, he is CEO wrapped in plastic.
I'm sorry. He's like that plus like a hand, like a charisma buff. Like, well, generic CEO with a real nice charisma buff.
Fine. I'll allow that, but...
Handsome. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe I'm jealous.
So Mitt Romney announced his run. It literally surprised nobody.
Yeah, no one's surprised. There's a lot of interesting quirks about this because people are like real excited for him to be elected senator.
Utahns are going, so stoked.
Oh, they're so stoked. And Democrats are stoked, too,
they're
because
really excited.
They want a moderate Republican voice right. After all this fucking insanity.
Well, and I think the big reason that Democrats are excited about Mitt Romney is that they feel like he'll stand up to Trump. Unlike, you know, the other spineless Republicans currently in office.
Well, here's a fun thing about being a Republican.
In office.
It comes without a spine.
Right. So, I don't know. I'm a little conflicted. I feel like I want to be that optimistic that Mitt Romney will continue to be like vocally speak out against President Trump. But I'm skeptical.
Even if he does.
Yeah.
Being elected into Orrin Hatch's seat does not make him Orrin Hatch. He will become the junior senator from the state of Utah. Junior underneath actual idiot, Mike Lee.
Right.
Who is an actual idiot.
Right. And well, that's the interesting thing is that like Orrin Hatch had an actual position of power in Washington.
He was a Senate pro tem.
And Mitt Romney's not going to.
And he won't be able to be on committees. He won't be able to do a lot of things.
Or if he'll be on like low-level committees.
Exactly.
And it would be really interesting to see how he was treated in Washington because he's such a big deal. I mean, he was almost a president. And so I don't know. I don't know if he would be accepted by other Congress members with open arms. But McCain was in the Senate when he was he's been part of it. You know, he's not a newcomer to Congress, which Mitt Romney would be. I'm super interested to see how this goes.
I'm the only one who's like not excited about it because he's clearly he's a billionaire in sheep's clothing and he's going to do the same thing that they all do, which is just serve the better interests of their top donors and not the American people, no matter what his flowery Twitter video speeches say.
And this is the interesting thing is like people are so excited to see him stand up to Trump. But I'm like, look at how many, do you remember how many Republicans after the Billy Bush tape came out, spoke out against Donald Trump and have since done a complete about face and many of them before the actual presidential election, like within the space of a month went from like never Trumpers to like, I rescind my,
but her emails.
You know? Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so this is the thing that I'm interested in is that like Trump does have a lot of supporters in Utah and Mormons are like one of his strongest bases of support still, I think, because there's such a bastion of Republican support. We've talked about this before. So I'm going to be interested to see if Mitt Romney continues talking out against Trump in his campaign. Like this is what I'm going to be watching for. Is he going to continue speaking out against him loudly? And as strongly as he has been and as directly, or if he's going to do it more on the DL like he kind of has done with his campaign announcement.
Look, he could be the swing vote in the Senate if he wanted to be, and he could be the person because of the way that the Senate is set up right now. He could be the person when he gets elected to be the voice. He could be the one, he could be who tips the scale in either direction. And, you know, I guess we'll wait and see. I guess we'll wait and see what he does. But spoiler alert, anyone who's playing at home, he's going to do what the Republicans want because he'll be a Republican senator.
Yeah. And not only that, but like you said, a junior senator.
Yeah. The whip will walk over and it will say, no, you vote this way. Goodbye. Right. That will be the end of that.
So I think it'll be really interesting, to see if this continues to be a political tenable position of opposing Trump, because Mitt Romney does not do anything that's not politically tenable. Right. And then secondly, to see, like, I'm interested to see two things. If he does speak out against Trump, like, does that then change the opinions or thoughts of, like, Mormons and Utahns? Does
that would
affect
be the only
feelings about it?
That would be the only net positive for me.
Yeah, that'd be great. But if he does, or if he does, you know, also once he gets elected, is that going to continue, like we said, or is he going to fall in line like most other Republicans have? I will say that people kind of like talked about his announcement, his campaign announcement. They kind of like pulled a couple things out from his video. He announced it on Twitter with like this video of like Utah Capitol and families and him sitting down talking to people in like a diner. like Mitt Romney just goes to diners.
He never stopped showering after he went to that diner.
I don't know.
He needed to get the pour off of him so bad.
I don't know. So there are a couple things in there that people said was like, were like anti-Trump. Like he specifically said that Utah is like welcomes immigrants with open arms while Washington tries to exclude them. And people are like, that's calling out Trump. Obviously, he's been very, very outspoken against immigrants. And not only Trump, but other Republicans as well. And then there's another moment where he says that like people treat each other with respect in Utah's Capitol Hill, which first of all is just like, we perfected the fakey fake polite in Utah, okay? Ooh. Don't mistake it for respect, because it's not.
Passive aggressive.
Right, it's not respect. But anyway, so a lot of people have used that as a call out of Trump too, of like, respect and decency. And I just am like, what kind of person do you have to be that like we treat each other with respect is like seen as a call out of you personally? I just like it anyway. And an interesting update about the Romney story is that over the weekend there's like these hard right Republican Utah state legislatures, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to change the law about how you can get on the ballot. A Utah senator. Right now, there's two ways that you can do that. You can do a caucus route, or you can collect signatures, a certain amount of signatures. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make it so that they can like basically veto any signatures that a candidate gets that they would use to get on the ballot.
How very Democratic of them.
Right? And that's how Romney was planning on getting on the ballot. So if they are able to actually get this, they passed a bylaw. I don't know how close it is to being actual law. So basically what the bylaw says is that Republicans have to follow the state's current nomination laws, and our current laws do not actually allow for people to use signatures. And this is kind of why like Curtis was a big deal, is because that's how he got on the ballot, was using signatures. And this is also, we got a whole ballot initiative about it.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
up,
that ballot initiative.
Right. That would allow people to collect signatures to get on the ballot rather than go the caucus method. So this is kind of a big deal because they're saying you have to follow current laws. And if you don't, you can be, I think it's that you are ejected from the Republican Party. So,
oh, such punishment.
And the new bylaw says if a candidate does follow that route to the ballot, they immediately lose their membership. So I don't know membership I don't know. So I think there are some Republicans who are right wingers who are like not about this. I don't know why you wouldn't be.
Well, I think they're worried about all that stuff we talked about already, which is, they're worried that he'll be a moderate, insane voice of reason in a post-Trump apocalypse.
This is something to watch. It's not only where Romney is going to fall on the spectrum of conservatism, you know, as a Democrat, but also as a Republican. I think a lot of Republicans and other conservative people are concerned about, you know, where is he going to fall? I think, like you said, there's a lot of people in Utah who don't want a conservative senator. And would prefer another Mike Lee.
Idiot.
Another actual idiot representing them in the Capitol. So that's another important development to watch out for.
So we've been following the legislative session, the 2018 Utah legislative session this year. We've been talking about some silly bills that are being proposed, and some important ones and some other stuff. We just want to keep everybody updated on what has actually become Utah law. And we'll kind of do a running update as we get them. But as of this recording, there are four bills that have been signed into law by Governor Herbert. Three of them are the most boring bills.
That's okay.
Their titles are renumbering and recodifying public education in the state of Utah. And it's
so yes. And so we have HB 10, and again, this is House Bill HB. That's what HB stands for. Which is renumbers and recodifies the state education policies. I don't think it really significantly changes them.
It doesn't alter them.
Just kind of updates their numbers. And
I went through it, and the strikethroughs were always on the numbers.
Okay.
Like in the sections.
Just literally renumbering them. And then there's HB 11, does the same thing
but for funding.
Public education funding. And then SB 11, which is basically the same thing, but targeted at a local level. So kind of more to like county and city education laws. Yeah.
Yeah. And if I was interested in reading like a 400 page bill about Utah public education policy, I would have dug through it. And I don't think anything pernicious is at play. I think that's why they passed so easily. I think that's why they got signed, because they are what they say they are.
Literal
just renumbering.
Just literal red tape.
The only interesting one, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm not smart enough to read a bill, was SCR 9. Which is
not a bill.
Not a bill. It's a resolution.
Right.
Which is, it's a lot like not getting something done, but saying you've done something.
Yeah.
This one was SCR 9, a resolution to encourage the exploration of Utah and Salt Lake City to host a future Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games.
Right. So they're trying to bring the Olympics back.
So essentially this is just the government of Utah being like, yeah, we're interested. Someone make a committee and do a thing.
Well, we might throw some funding your way.
Whenever the bids come up, they'll... Whatever. That is just saying that they want to do this from a state government level.
Yeah. And this wouldn't be for, like, several years. This would be, like, what?
I think we're at least three out.
2030, probably?
Yeah.
That would be a one. Yeah, so it would be, like, 2030, maybe 2034. This would be...
Yeah, it's way out.
But, I mean, that is kind of how far in advance you need to start planning something as massive as the Olympics. So,
anyway, those are your new Utah laws, and we'll keep you updated as more of them come through the governor's office.
Right, and get signed and finalized.
Of the Utah legislature and laws and how they hate democracy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible segue, but I'm going to keep it. We talked, I think in episode 2 again, about some ballot initiatives
that
are currently in the works that are looking like they're going to make it on.
I'm pretty sure that was the first episode that we never released.
Oh.
The shame.
The shame.
We can edit it and throw it up this week.
Throw it up is right.
Okay.
You guys, anyway. Our first episode was not, it was not, not that this is any better really, but oh boy. Brad Daw is a Republican representative out of Orem, is frustrated and considering adding a bill that will make it harder for ballot initiatives to
collect votes. So basically, you have to collect a certain number of signatures of registered voters to get a ballot initiative to be an actual ballot referendum and actually get on the ballot so people can vote on it. And there are actually like seven. They received quite a bit of funding, way more than actually any candidates have. And
it's almost like it's important to people.
Right. And this is a big deal because the last time Utah actually had any ballot initiatives end up on their ballots any ballot referendums was like in 2004 and then in 2007. And the one in 2007 wasn't even like to make a law. It was to cancel a law that had been passed. And they're like, we're not doing that. So this is a big deal because it's been more than 10 years
right.
since Utah's had a ballot initiative. And now they have seven that are basically on track to get put onto the ballot.
And they're
huge deal.
Yeah. And they're all things the legislature has failed.
Has tried to work on and failed on. So this is stuff like medical marijuana, passing.
Gerrymandering.
Right. Gerrymandering. They have one about redistricting. So this would be not just your like U.S. districts. This would be like county districts and stuff like that. And then they have another one that's like school funding. They right. want to school funds add $700 million to fund Utah schools by increasing the sales tax by like 0.045%. And that has a huge support. So there's a lot of these initiatives like this that have a lot of popular support, and that are like issues. I mean, most Utahns support these things.
Right.
These are common sense things that like we want to happen.
They have huge public support.
And the Utah State Legislature.
Last year, there were 2 medical marijuana bills. This year, there's one. There were others previous. The Utah legislature can't not screw it up.
Yeah.
There is part of the Utah legal system that yeah. you can do this. You can go out, get 100,000 signatures, which is no small accomplishment.
Right.
And you can get a ballot initiative.
Right. And the interesting thing about the Utah ballot initiative laws is that you can't put something up for a vote if the Utah State Legislature is working on a similar law. And this is, I think, why you're seeing some laws right. that are being worked on. So anyway, so that's what Brad Daw is complaining about, is he's like these uppity ballot initiatives.
Yeah.
He's kind of freaking out about it.
He's really freaking out about it. He's complaining about all the money they got. Oh, a lot of donations. Where did all this dark money come from? A Republican said.
Yeah. And they're really just freaking out because they're losing control.
Right.
Because these laws are going to get put into things that they didn't write, and that honestly might piss off their donors. Right. And that they don't get to kowtow to what they think their constituents want. And they're scared. I think they're freaked out about it. So tell us what Brad Daw has been doing.
So Brad Daw, he wrote one bill that would make it harder for local kind of electoral ballot initiatives. Basically would up the requirement for signatures and all that.
Yeah.
He just wants to make it harder for citizens to be involved in their own democracy.
Right.
And he's considering making one that would affect the state level.
Yeah.
Essentially making it so you'd have to get X more signatures right. or X more public support before.
Right. And we're not sure, but basically I think the one that he has outlined, it would basically raise the floor of how many signatures you need to get. Utah actually requires a lot of signatures compared to other states. And that's really high, especially if you consider Utah's population is not that big.
No, it's not. I mean,
compared to other states.
100,000 is like less than 10%, but it's still a huge number. If you consider, and we should have looked up these numbers,
especially voted
in the last.
Yes. And especially as a share of people who have actually voted, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, 100,000 voters is a hard number to get to.
So Brad Daw is just whining that these ballot initiatives have gotten big dollars. But when you hear from people who are running the campaigns for these ballot initiatives, they're like, are you kidding me?
We're running this on a shoestring.
Right. And like, we're running this on $400,000, and that's nothing.
Yeah. It sounds like a ton of money to someone who doesn't have $400,000.
Yes.
But when what you're trying to do is employ a bunch of people
right.
and organize a bunch of people.
Of signature gathering.
Yeah. And get people to go do the work, and you're doing research and you're doing surveys. And you're getting press, and you're doing all that effort. $400,000 goes really, really fast.
Yeah, he also has complained that like the laws are not strict enough, and the people who run these ballot initiatives, there was like 2 of them quoted in a Salt Lake Tribune article. They were basically like, Utah has some of the strictest laws, and it's one of the hardest states to get these ballot initiatives going. Why do you think that like people haven't done it since 2004 or 2008?
No one bothers doing it
because it's so hard. Like they're just like, no, this is not a thing. Brad Daw's just kind of whiny.
He is the most whiny.
and they're freaking out. Hopefully this doesn't go anywhere, and hopefully that gets run into the ground.
Earlier this week, 5 GOP politicians from Iron County were arrested and or indicted and or involved in a prostitution sting. And we thought really hard about making them our Utah assholes of the week. But one of their friends down south, Representative Mike Knoll of Kanab,
mm-hmm.
has just gone above and beyond, like
to earn the title
of Utah yeah. Asshole of the Week. He was involved in so many stories this one week, and none of them were good.
Nope,
none of them were good.
There was one that pissed me off, which is that he proposed that the state of Utah sue California to basically extend a contract to buy, quote, clean coal from Utah. Basically, California decided it's not going to buy any more fossil fuels from other states anymore. And he is like, well, we're just going to sue you to make you do that. First of all, never going to stand a chance of winning. Never,
no.
ever, ever.
No, it's a totally frivolous lawsuit.
Second of all, would cost, he estimates, the taxpayers $2 million. $2 million, which is a joke. Because it would probably cost a lot more and get the taxpayers nothing. So, well, that's embarrassing.
And the worst part is the who proposed it to him is a law firm that represents a bunch of energy corporations. So this wasn't his idea. No, it was a right. law firm that was like, hey, we should do this. It's going to cost $2 million because we've got all of these expert witnesses and they cost $650 an hour.
So it's basically just like, how can we get $2 million of taxpayer money? I know, frivolous lawsuits.
And I bet all those expert witnesses are employees of energy companies in Utah.
Yeah.
And by employees, I mean executives.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, it's the most frivolous lawsuit. And it's the most just transparent fleecing of taxpayers that I've ever seen in my life. It's just... You know, find any Republican in the state. I'm so angry about this. Let me be angry. Let me feel the anger and the rage. Oh, just look, you talk to any ardent Republican in mm-hmm. the state of Utah and they'll say this phrase. Let the market decide. Hey, I'm saying don't regulate it. Let the market decide. Huh, market this, market that. Well, guess what the market of California decided? The voting populace. They wanted not to have energy produced by fossil fuels anymore.
Right.
And they voted for it. And the state of California made it a thing. And they said, guess what? We're going to honor our contracts because that's how business works. But we're not going to renew any contracts with corporations and states that are going to sell us dirty energy or fossil fuel energy. And so now the Republicans of Utah are going to sue them over it.
Yeah.
It's the most petty and garbage. Well, the free market until it doesn't work in my favor. Well,
and I just love the idea of like this too of like, we can't have regulations. We can't have regulations. But then people are like, we're going to not renew our contract. And they're like, well, I'm going to sue you and make you do it by the law.
I'm
going
to make you do it. I'm going to make law happen.
Yeah.
To so make it happen.
I think we can move on to the other terrible things he's done.
If that was the only thing, that would have been enough.
Right.
But it keeps going. He introduced an amendment to a bill that would add a $1 fee to every Utah's water bill. That sole purpose is to fund a pipeline.
He wants
that would
he's
only
like,
serve his communities.
Oh.
And that's the thing, is he wants all of Utah to pay a project that will only serve Iron County, essentially. Yeah. Which sounds a lot like socialism. I just hate him. Anyway, it would also fund the construction of a bunch of dams on the Bear River. Yeah. I mean, it's just like an environment destruction.
Well, and people are like, he's just kind of like, well, we'll just like build a pipeline and we'll just pipe in the clean water. Carol Fisher, executive director of Save Our Canyons, so an environmental conservationist. She basically said that the bill could endanger drinking water supplies. And she's like, instead of piping in our drinking water, why don't we just keep our local drinking water sources clean and free from pollution? That just makes better sense. So she basically said that into the Salt Lake Tribune. So
the man who wants clean coal and dirty water, is that enough? No. Mike Knoll had to do yet another thing, and that was to consider asking President Trump for a pardon of his friend Phil Lyman, who was an Iron County GOP official who organized an ATV ride in protest of public lands. And he and a bunch of other rednecks from that part of the state, sorry if you're one of our redneck Iron County listeners, but y'all are rednecks down there. They rode their ATVs through an archaeological site and did $100,000 worth of damage.
So can you tell me why, like, what was the motivation? Was it just
I don't know.
The whole...
They're all like the Bundy type people where they're like, public lands, this should all be privately held and not available to the public.
Right. Okay.
I don't know. I don't understand the position that they all take, but...
So Lyman was... So Lyman, for organizing this silly ride, was sentenced to 10 days in jail. He also was hefted a $100,000 fine for the damage he caused. And Noel thinks that this justifies a presidential pardon.
I don't understand why, when someone's already been convicted, served the time, and paid the fee, why the pardon is meaningless at that point. They've already paid their debt to society.
I don't know. Says that it would clear his criminal record. I don't know if it would. He's a 70-year-old
asshole from Iron County. He's a hero down there. Like, what is it hurting him?
And I also just feel like... It wasn't a felony.
He can still vote known as guns.
And it also doesn't clear his criminal record. Again, I feel like this demonstrates a fundamental misunderstanding of presidential pardons.
Yeah, it
doesn't clear his record whatsoever.
No, they think presidential pardon is tabula rasa or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, it's not. Anyway, he is prolific in assholery.
Yeah.
And that is why he is our Utah Asshole of the Week.
The preceding podcast was a production of Chrysalis Media, LLC. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.